presentation and discussion. We have a few. The first one is the snow presentation by our DPW Director, Bruce Cannarese.
You want to see?
And Carlos Rodello, Highway Superintendent. Go at it, boys.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. As was stated, I got Carlos Rodello, he's the Highway Ground Superintendent. I also assisted this program quite a bit by Mr. Tony Bernetta. He is the assistant, and also has Steve here tonight to help with the technical issues. So he's now part of the Snow and Ice Program. So this is a program I do every couple of years, because I will say, as the Public Works Director, this is the second most thing I get calls about. Number one would always be trash. People love to call about trash. This is the solve number two, in particular this time of year. So it's a very complex thing that we do, and we try to meet all the needs. So I start to go through the whole program and different things that come up. So the priorities, these are the same priorities that we've always had since I've been here. It's the way we do things, depending on the available equipment, but it's the roadways, the public buildings and schools, and the sidewalk. Those priorities were established before I got here, and it's always been a collaboration between the school and the police department and the other public service, other two things. Our goals, we always want to be prepared. We want to respond with the appropriate resources in a timely manner. Ensure that emergency vehicles can always respond during snow and ice events, provide safe passage for vehicles during snowfall, and have all the roadways cleared, showing some asphalt, basically less than an inch of snow and ice within 4 hours at the conclusion of the storm. This is standard that's been, you know, established before I got here. It's a tough thing to do. It's an expensive thing to do. I'll show you some of the numbers to get to that point. But that's kind of what the councils have passed and residents expect. That's what we try to get to. So FY25, we had 16 events, 33 inches of snow. That's probably a little higher because we don't measure by the half inch. So if every time we go out, this is a salting event, we just call it an inch of snow. Our total budget for last year was $1.1 million, and we spent about $362,000 just on salt. So in FY26, our budget is not that much higher, $1.4 million basically dollars, and we spent $500,000 on salt. That's what we anticipate. That's about 6,800 tons of salt. So the past year, by fiscal year, in 21, we had 45 inches, in 2016, you know, 16 inches, 58 inches of snow. That was one of our bigger years, 18 events. You can kind of go across this. They've kind of, you know, people may notice that, you know, if you want to call it global warming, you believe in that, you know, whatever it might be. The snowfall, I can tell you, in my lifetime, it seems to have gone down quite a bit. We've not dealing with as much snow out there, but it's almost as difficult what we have to do. I can tell you, Carlos and I, one of the biggest things to grapple with, if you think of last year, the storms that, you know, you get that 2 to 3 inches, where you're gonna call plows out, whether you're gonna keep using salting, whether you're gonna meet the needs. So it's a tough thing to do. As much as a more, you know, a 6 inch storm is a lot less complicated.
A lot easier.
You know what you're doing, because the 2 to 3 inch, everybody's gonna question about what you're doing, when you're going out at the right time. So salting versus treating. So salting, we go out, our mixing rate is 100% salt. And people ask, like the old days, you know, they used to do the sanding, or they said they go sanding in the old days. What happens is a big environmental concern with that, because what happens is, if we put all that sand down on one thing, it grabs all the pollutions that come off the cars, okay? And then it goes down into the catch basin, it goes to the water stream. And plus, it's very, very expensive to clean up the salt. I mean, the sand that's attached. If you think it this way, you know, what are we paying a ton now for salt?
63 for regular salt and 83 for treated salt.
And the treated salt is the one that goes down to a lower temperature. I mean, sand might only cost you $6 or $7 a ton, but it can cost you up to $150 to clean it up, and then it's going to be hauled away. A lot of it's considered hazardous waste in Massachusetts. Believe it or not, it's usually, the landfills are closing, so it's hard to get rid of. And then the stuff that comes out of the catch basins that's really contaminated, we actually have to ship it out of state. It goes to Vermont. and it's very expensive to get rid of. And then the other thing, people have seen the brine that we try to use around town. It's less expensive, that's about 80% salt brine, and then we also use beet juice with it. It works well as a tacking agent to keep it on the roadway. It's been a great tool for us, it's relatively, it's less expensive. We can go out because staffing's an issue for us, so we get, you go to see the squiggly lines, people call about them, we go out and do all the main roads, and then as the snow comes down, it, you know, starts the melting process and keeps the bind, the salt or the ice from binding with the road. So it's a good product. Just give you a rough cost. This is something I implemented years ago. We call it the five truck route. When I first came here, if it was icy out there, we would go and treat the whole town. So, you know, just all the main roads, not the hills, we did every subdivision. As you know, we have a lot of subdivisions in town. And it was, the way I looked at it, wasn't environmentally the right thing to do. And additionally, it's expensive, okay? Not all the side roads, you know, need to get done all the time. You know, you don't want to do them in the hills and mains. You know, I say this, you know, if you're doing 20 miles an hour down the road, you're not going to go out the road. You're not going to close your car. So just slow down, particularly the subdivisions. Can't say that necessarily on the main roads. You know, we want to have those in the hills and for traction. But just the cost of going out, when we send out the per hour, it's roughly $33,000 per hour when we go out for that, and it's $10,000 for the five truck row. And the five truck row includes all the schools, it also includes all the town buildings. But those numbers, I don't think they're high or low, but they add up. I mean, we've been out there four times, right?
Four times, and just the last storm was $55,000. And we didn't even call contractors in.
That was just a goal. So like that last weekend storm, the guys were in, that was all done with in-house people. But that's how much it has. Next slide. So this is one of the things that I deal with. On one hand, I wear the hat as the keeping the roads clear. And the other thing, I have to wear the hat as environmental, you know, because I'm also in charge of drinking water in town. We put a lot of salt down, and we have to keep the standard we want. But as you can see, the recommended amount of salt that you want to keep in the drinking water system. This is a recommend thing, it's not standard, but they just say it's the right thing to do, is to keep it on 20 parts per million. And you can slowly see in town, you know, from 2000 to 2024, about 69, okay, we've gone through. Now, as well, we take it from, it's also near 495 also, and you might notice they salt a lot up there.
I was going to work the other day, they have full blast the whole time.
The whole time. So that's what we deal with. I'm going to try this link. I got a short little film that we were selected to do because of the right thing to do. It can really explain what goes on here in Franklin and Sully's.
Can you get that up?
Massachusetts, around 35,000 people. We're about 28 square miles. We also have a lot of commercial industrial in town. We're on 495. People expect high services here. We try to provide it. Big snowstorms coming. Public Works is first responders. The residents' expectations, I can tell you, over the years have changed dramatically. When I grew up, if it snowed outside, I might have to stay home for a day. Their expectations now are during a snowstorm, it doesn't really matter if we're getting 4 inches of snow or 2 feet of snow. During that snowstorm, they want to be able to drive around and do what they got to do. salt is a cheap way to get rid of snow and ice.
Salt lowers the freezing temperature of water. In the right conditions, a briny, wet surface can keep ice from bonding with the road, or even prevent ice from forming in the first place.
When we used to go out, we used a mixture of sand and salt. Sand is so much cheaper. Sand's only like $5 a ton to buy. It's very expensive to get rid of. So we use 100% salt now.
In one winter season, we'll use 5,000 to 6,000 tons of salt.
After a storm, that salt hasn't disappeared. As the snow melts, it will be washed away down into a catch basin
and be carried directly to a river stream, or seeps into the ground and becomes part of our groundwater, and it raises the saline level. As a public works guy, I wear a lot of different hats. And on one hand, I'm trying to deal with my residents and I want the safest road possible and the cheapest way to do it. On the other hand, I run the water department. And on the water department, they want quality drinking water. All the water we get for our town comes from the ground. Salt levels, ideally we should be under 20 parts per million. In 2008, we were at about 29. The parts per million kept going up. And presently, we're at 66 parts per million. It's not good.
We are seeing a persistent increase in salt pollution in wetlands, streams, and soils. In large quantities, chloride, a component of road salt, is harmful, even fatal, to freshwater animals like snails, frogs, and trout. Even slightly elevated chloride levels threaten the survival of freshwater species, which must compete with those able to live in a salty environment. Chloride also harms plants, especially those close to roads, causing drought-like symptoms and even all of this can lead to a significant drop in biodiversity as plants and animals struggle to survive the effects of salt.
The first thing we looked at is, what are we doing? What can we do internally? When I first got here, if there was any ice situation, the whole town was just salted. Do we have to do the whole town? Let's focus on the high traffic areas. Let's focus on the hills.
We have 180 lane miles of road in Franklin. If you can get out of your neighborhood and get to a main road, roads that are 40, 50 miles an hour, they'll be down to bare pavement, they'll be safe to drive on.
Then we started looking into the different trucks. We want to make sure everything is calibrated correctly.
There's a lot of moving parts, chains, conveyor belts, computer systems. So before the winter, we do like to calibrate our trucks to make sure we're putting the proper amount that's needed and not overdoing it. The magic number we always shoot for 250 pounds per lane mile.
We train the guys on it. Because some guys, they think, oh yeah, the boss is watching me. I'll put more salt down. My road will be better. Well, yeah, no, it's not. It doesn't get any better. You want to keep it where we keep it.
We're starting to do some pre-treating, and that's a salt brine with a beet juice.
We spray the roads
3-4 days in advance of a storm. It'll help get a little barrier on the pavement so we don't produce a ice layer that we can't scrape off with the plows.
And then the last one, which is the hard part to do, is educating the public.
The public sometimes forgets they live in New England and it does snow. People are late to work, they gotta get to work, they gotta leave. It's sleeting, it's snowing. You really need to reduce the speed.
Stay off the road. We can be more efficient. We can save money. And then it also helps out, you know, the environmental, because we're going to use less salt. And, you know, that helps out drinking water. It's hard to say per year how much less salt we use, because as we know, every winter is different. I would realistically say that we've reduced our salt by a third compared to when I first got here.
With the effects of climate change coming into focus, now is a good time to think about the problems of salt. 2023 was the fifth warmest winter on record, and Franklin used considerably less salt than on average. Decades from now, snow and ice may be rare in Franklin. But in the meantime, some experts say that these somewhat warmer winters will require more salt to keep us safe. Ice on already treated roads will thaw during the warmth of the day and need to be salted again before temperatures drop at night and surfaces begin to refreeze.
Salt is a problem, and we don't want to contribute to it. We want to be a solution. Every storm's different. So you're constantly going to modify, and you change, and you learn from the last one, you move on to the next one.
So that's one of the things we deal with. So plowing, this is the next thing that when things are going good, we have about 35 of our own piece of equipment that come in. The council has been very good about funding those through the years. And ideally, we like to have about 60 pieces of outside contractors, everything from skid steers to the schools, to other big trucks, 10 wheels that are out there. It's getting difficult to do that, get those numbers. Things were good, we had about 80 or 100. What do we have this year?
We are about 55.
55. So we're trying to do that. And then, once again, people always like to talk about the cost. When town employees are out there just plowing, it's around $1,500 per hour. We get the contractors in, it's about $10,000 an hour. So when we have a storm, obviously this goes all day. You know, we can, just in the contract, just alone, I say all days, we've had some storms 24, 30 hours, it's day out of quick. So, and we also get calls a lot about, 140, particularly the sections of 140. A lot of it's taken care of by Mass DOT. Some people call about West Central Street or, down East Central, down that way. It's not really our responsibility to do that. They do that. And I try not to take on any more than I need to. And obviously, 495 is done by the state. So, challenges. We have a lot of roads to do. We have school walking road on the sidewalks that we have to do school walking. Well, one thing that comes up with sidewalks all the time, since I've been here, we've never added another sidewalk, even though we built to plow, to clear, because we really don't have the resources to do that. So we've never added anything out, but the sidewalks, like anything else, they were pretty much developed by public works, police, and the school department. And the priorities are obviously around schools and the main roads. But a lot of people call up and say, you didn't do the sidewalk in our neighborhood. We don't do that. We don't have anywhere near the resources to take care of it. Some folks will go out there and do their own, which is great. But for the most part, that's not our responsibility. Obviously, Mother Nature affects the sidewalks, the timing of the storm, length of storm, type of storm, amount of snow. Times are required to do sidewalks. If it's less than 6 inches of snow, we go with the plows, you've seen those, and we can pretty much get that done in a day. If it's a big snow, we have to use the snow blowers. You're looking at 3+ days to do them all. And don't forget the same guys that are plowing your roads, these are the guys that can go out to the sidewalks, okay? And they need rest at different times to get this done, as far as just in safety and what goes on. We don't have the backup crew, we don't have, we're not Boston and have staged workflows. I will say that working with the school department through the years, and it goes back to Maureen, is that to get out there, with the school department, I always talk to the superintendent quite a bit, obviously about any time we're having storms, but what they'll do is, before the sidewalks get done, he will tell all the buses, whether you're a paying bus rider or not, to pick up any student that's on the road at the corner. So if the bus has to be driving by, they're not a paying one, they will pick them up and take them to school, and they do that until the sidewalks are clear. And that's worked out really well. So that helps out. So this, helps with the complaints. Because, as a parent, you could say it's tough to walk down some of these without the sidewalks. But, if the buses pick them up, then they won't. This is our big problem right now. It's just is worker shortages. I want to try to read these correctly. Sorry. So we have, as I'm sure people work out there, we have the public works, we have employee turnover quite a bit. It's not like the old days where, you know, people got a town job and they stayed there forever. It's a new generation. They come, they stay a while, we train them up, and they go.
I'm with you, brother.
We took a team photo like 2 years ago. You know, all the employees, and over a third of them are gone. And they leave for different reasons. It might not be their gig. They leave for money. They get relocated, or it's just not what's going on for them. And the same problem we have: the contractors can't find drivers to do it. Plus, the CDL requirements have changed quite a bit, and it's much harder to get a CDL license than it used to be. So getting folks to do that, before you just go down there to like study it up and you can take your own driving test and you can get it, but now you actually have to be trained by a
school.
You have to go to a school, and to get a CDL, that's somewhere between $9,000 and $12,000. But I will put a plug out there. Town of Franklin is the first town to be certified as trainers. So if you want to come work for me, get your permit, we'll train you, and you will get your license. And it's worked out pretty good for us. We'll be able to get some employees. Private properties, a lot of folks, they don't want to deal with the towns just because the castings out there, it's harder to do, you know, the different, you know, you get to know your park a lot instead of having to move around town all the time. And just a lack of interest. People aren't plowing anymore. It's blood money. People do not like it. They can't make money out of it.
I mean, I'll give you a scenario here. One of our contractors, FY24, we paid him $5,965 along with signed bonuses. FY25, $7,680. This year, the insurance, they wanted $6,300.
Yeah, I know.
So he's like, he would have profited $1,300. He's like, Carlos, just doesn't make sense for me.
No, you can't blame them.
So, and I don't blame them, but these are some of the things we're dealing with the insurance. And, you know, I want to say last year we called them all 3 times, previous year was 4 times.
Yes.
So there's just been more salting events and icing events than plowing events. So, in one way, sometimes we're like, we want more snow so these contractors make money so we'll have them around. But,
I agree.
This is what we're running into, and it's becoming. It's coming a little scary to
the upfront costs. You get your truck, your plow truck set up, you get to buy all that extra equipment, and then you don't use it. You pay the insurance, you got to pay it with your plow, or you don't. So that's an issue. The effect, obviously, we have increased time to be able to clear the roads. If we don't have the plow people, and this is what I'm telling you, you know this, you see it everywhere, right? You see the towns, I don't care what town you drive through, we need snow plow drivers, right? Everywhere, the state, everybody needs it. So it's not just a Franklin issue. It's everywhere out there. Could lead to more delays, more school cancellations, extended timelines to remedy missed areas that we have to do. Downtown snow removal delays, we haven't done that for a couple of years, but if we have a couple storms in a row, we have to go clear the downtown. But once again, it's the same guys that have to wait, sleep, and it takes a while to retire. And then the everyday maintenance we do, the delay in potholes. You know, they don't stop when it snows. We actually get more of them. But the same guys are up all night, they need to rest before we go out and fix those things. And then other work. So Carlos kind of touched on something. What we've done, we improved the union contract rate and hours for them to come in and work. We've raised contractor plowing rates. We were at a meeting with a bunch of other towns the other day, and we always thought we had pretty good plow rates. We don't. People are they're just paying more.
To get people,
you don't have them. We reviewed our sidewalk and our snow plowing insurance requirements. We worked with Mark, who we said they're very high when we brought the threshold down. Hopefully that would reduce some of the costs there for them. Sidewalk plowing update. Remember we did that whole thing about the sidewalks doing it and whether we enforce it or we don't enforce it. I won't get into that. Enhanced maintenance calibration of the equipment, new equipment. Once I said, truthfully, the council has been very good through the years. We have very good equipment down there, and I think it's whether we do this, whether we buy lawnmowers, whatever it is, we try to buy the most cost-effective equipment that people can do the most work with, because we don't have the employees. Employees are expensive, as you know, for a town. So if we can get better, more work, more use of the equipment that we have, through those people, that's what we're doing. So that's why we looked at, you know, the brining, the snow plow, we got a wing plow now. We do a lot of different things. It's less employees, but they can get more work done because of the equipment.
And because we're counting so much on our department, it is so good that the council has given us good equipment and how important it is, because we need that up and running and having the good equipment, because we are counting on our department to do the majority of the work.
And our guys do a great job. I mean, they come in, I don't have the issues like a lot of towns, you know, the old days, you know, you call them, they're like, huh, there's no one picking up the phone. Our guys do come in and they put in the hours, so it's a tough gig. Advanced weather services, you know, that's, we can go both ways on that. I mean, tell me anybody knows a weatherman that's always right. I have not yet to meet this person, but we do have a lot. That has improved through radar, and we've got some different things going on there. And then we work with other towns. And then also the other thing, another technology thing, is the cameras that we've installed for towns. A lot of places out of town in the signals, we'll have cameras there so we can see, believe it or not, like in Franklin, because we have elevation changes, like up off Lincoln Street all the way down to Washington, the roads can be frozen. You experienced that one night on Lincoln Street. But it gets icy, but even though we had been out and we had treated, so the cameras help us see what's going on too.
It also gives us temperature on the pavement, which is huge.
So that's the worker shortage thing. Then go into, you know, obviously, I think some of this common sense, what can affect the response our time, timing of the storm, day of the week, hour of the day. So obviously, you know, Monday morning, we're going to have a lot of people out there on the road. Okay, it slows us down because, you know, the piece of equipment stuck behind other people going to work. The amount and type of precipitation, you know, the light fluffy stuff, you have to totally different than the heavy wet stuff or sleet or ice like that. It makes a big difference. The duration of the storm, whether it's a quick, fast one that comes in here, boom, you know, we try to get it before it comes down, or these long ones, we know it's coming, it's going to be a long storm, so we have to save our resources, we have to save our people to make sure they can do it. Temperature during the storm, you know, it goes up, it goes down, and it can change with the amount of product that we're putting down, what we're doing. This one's always key to me, weather pattern, warm to cold, which is what we're going to see later on this week, actually, and then we're going to cold to warm. So cold to warm, tend to get warm in the springtime, it comes in here, so you get a cold thing, we know it's going to warm up the next day, so we might be cutting back, doing stuff, because we get the radiating sun, it goes in, frost out of the ground, obviously it's no frost in the ground, the first stuff starts to melt when it goes down, if it's already frozen, it's going to freeze up. The month of the storm is huge. We're in the darkest time of year right now. You know that. You ever walk outside at 3:30, like, where's the sun? And so we're not getting that radiation or warming. But once you hit like the end of February, the sun comes up, it melts the snow, everything a whole lot quicker. And then recent storm activities. This goes against so many different things. If you guys have been out doing multiple storms, you remember 2014, we got like a foot of snow every 3 days. Okay, that's the folks getting tired. Every time we go in a storm, equipment breaks, so we got to fix that so it may not be available for the next storm. Okay, and then just the snow on the road. If it's already out there, we only can push back the bank so far, you know, clear the corners. So all these different things can affect what's going on for the recent storm activity. Preparing for a storm. This is, you know, like everybody else, you watch the weather forecast, we get what we do. Equipment readiness, you know, we go over what vehicles, you know, we get, like anything else, some parts aren't available, so a truck might be down, we have to jump through hoops. Availability of DPW personnel, you know, who's going to be available, who's not going to be available, other things that come up. We contact other town departments, you know, whether it's the school department, the senior center, whatever's going on, the library, we talk to them. You know, maybe closing, you know, obviously I talked to the superintendent quite a bit during the winter. Then reaching out to our contractors, the same issues that we have, they might be having equipment breakdown, people aren't available. Availability of supplies and salt, that was a number of years ago, we haven't really had that problem lately. Training and after action reviews, we go through what we did right, what things we can improve upon again. And the other thing is, we're constantly training down, as I expressed before, we have new employees. You know, the first time you're going out in a storm, it's a big deal. They're trying to learn what's going on, they're learning the route, how to do it, and then we want to go through it, what we can do to improve it. And then we prepare for next event. We're always preparing. These are a couple bylaws, just so to remind folks at home. No person, so plow, push, deposit, throw, or pile snow or ice used to cross any public street, sidewalk, property, not direct cause the same to be done unless an employee of the town, okay? I'll just tell you, like me, it's so annoying. We clear the whole street, right? And then people, the plow, you know, the contractors come out, they push all the snow back onto the road. So I'll give them a warning, if they repeat, you know, we'll fine. Or even homeowners that go out there, you clean up the whole end of the street, they got their snow blowers. They don't throw it on the lawn, they put it right back in the road. You know, I mean, but it's, you're not really helping, and you're not doing, you're not being a good citizen, good neighbor. This one we get all the time, the parking any motor vehicles when the layout of the public right-of-way street, a roadway open to public is prohibited between the hours of 10, or 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. while a winter storm banning is in effect. We have one of the most lenient ones around. Work with Jeff Nutting on this. It is lenient. The old days, it wasn't like, you remember like November 15th to April 15th, you couldn't park on the road, no matter what. Do we realize there's issues out there a lot of times out? So just during those hours at night when we're out there, clear the roads. They can go back on the day, for crying out loud. But just during the event, you don't do it. So, but we get people to do it, and particularly the first storm downtown, that you get most of them. And then after the first storm, the police have been very, very good about going out and giving, you know, warnings they put on their car. We don't want to take people, we don't want to tell people. But you, once people understand, they move self-sites very quickly. Rules to remember, hydrants, people always call up and say, hey, I can't find my hydrant, you gotta get snow cleared out. No, we don't do that. We can't do that. We don't have resources, so the fire department doesn't do it either. If you can't find it, you know, they have the markers on them, the fire department will come out, the water department will be able to find them for you, because, I mean, it hasn't been that bad if we piled them in there, but it has happened in the past, but we will do that. This one I get all the time. There's no salt available with DPW drive. People are like, oh, it's paid for, this, that, and other thing. Well, a couple things here. You can't do it because it's a safety thing. You know, people showing up in the middle of the night, you know, we're trying to do everything.
Black jacket on.
Yeah, and they're trying to take salt. So it's a huge liability issue. People said, why can't you put a pile up front? You know, let people go by. Can't do that either because obviously we're going to keep it covered, and it's an environmental concern. And then you might find this hard to believe, people would take advantage of it. You know, there would be a contractor down there just filling up everything and doing everything. So we've never done that. Then we have basketball hoops, another one. They're not allowed in the public right away, but because they get hit by the trucks and everything else. So we sent out some more today. Just reminding folks, take their hoops and, you know, pull them back from the curb. Because it's destructive. And then the mailbox policy, I think we're at $50. $50. So if we strike your mailbox, we're not doing it intentionally. I always tell people we don't have like a big game going on who gets the most. I tell my folks all the time, you know, we really do a very good job clearing snow and stuff. And if you knock over someone's mailbox, that's just going to give them a bad taste in the mouth. So please don't do that. They're very respectful. It does happen. But if we do happen to, you know, hit it or the heavy snow breaks them a lot, then there's a $50 policy. That's it. So, you know, people come down and say, I got the granite post from Swenson Granite. No, it's $50. Because we go down and look at, like, Lowe's or Home Depot. You get standard mailbox out there, and it's $50. So I just put this up there, my top 10 complaints. Plows keep putting snow in my driveway right after I show them. Because, you know, we try to do that. When we see you just clear that, we're going to go by and push it all back in there. Because that's not true. We just have to keep going.
So when the driver laughs at us,
it doesn't. Yeah. Yeah. That's when he takes out the mailbox.
Yeah. My street is not down to asphalt, but others are. Well, it's just different timing that goes on, but we try to get that. I think we kind of explained it earlier that we try to do the more main drags and the hills before we get to everything else. There's more snow on my side of the road than the other. No, we really try to divide the snow up either. We're not playing favorites. We're not trying to give you extra snow, okay? So go down the middle. The roadway's too narrow. There's only enough room for one car to pass. That does sometimes happen because the smaller trucks, they can only push the snow back so far, it'll come over the side. So if we get to that point, we'll send the loaders out later on after the storm to open up the road. Because we want to try to keep it open to the curb just for drainage and everything else. But that's a whole other thing because now we go back and push back, we fill everybody's driveway again the following day, they're not happy. But we usually send out chase trucks. complaint. The snowbanks are too high, and I can't see oncoming traffic. Yep, that happens, so please call us up, and we'll take down the corner so you can see around what's going on. You hit my mailbox, I cannot get to my mailbox. We kind of talked about that. We talked about the hydrant. Why do you plow trucks go by every hour I'm trying to sleep? I've had people saying it's trying to sleep. Okay, please stop plowing. I'm okay. But we can't do that because we've got to keep up with it, just so you know. The plow trucks are driving like 40 miles an hour, okay? They do not drive 40 miles an hour. I've said this to many councils I've worked for, and many councils have taken up with. Come take a ride. I'll drive you around in one of the big trucks. The truck cannot do 40 miles. I mean, it can do 40 miles an hour, but you cannot safely plow because the snow will come over and everything else. Now, if you're a resident and you're on the side of the road and you hear this truck coming down, it seems like it's going 40 miles an hour because it's big, it's loud, it's banging on the asphalt. So I can see that, but we're not doing 40 miles an hour. I mean, and we actually also have GPSs in all our the vehicles so we can check and see how fast they're going. And most of the time, it's actually worked in our favor because people call up and say, it's doing 40 miles an hour. Like, oh, no, it's 23. Yeah. So that, and then when's it going to stop snowing? People call and ask about that. Like, but they do call. Like, I'm going to know. I asked them, do you know? Because I'm like, they don't. Yeah. So that's my presentation. I hope you guys got any questions. I can hopefully try to answer it for you.
Are there any questions from the council? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brutus. Thank you to your team. You guys do a great job. I'm wondering, given that we're not the only town struggling, right, with these numbers, with these snow emergencies, with the lack of personnel, and with costs being as high as they are, there any opportunity for like shared service agreements with other towns to, you know, maybe it's more bang for the buck to a plow driver if he could have a contract with a few different communities. He might be, if he's got to get that high insurance. Just a thought. I don't know if you guys have explored that or not.
We have to a certain degree, but you know, other towns need it at the same time. We are in, like for material costs, we are in consortiums that we bid out. Our salt is much lower. Like if you're a contractor, you're probably paying like $120 a ton, but because we buy so much from the community, you get down to the 60s. So we've been able to do that. We're also looking at giving out, in the old days when I first got here, the school department had their own contractor that basically just took care of all the schools. That was their responsibility. So we're looking at getting some numbers, and might put that out to bid. So that way we're not responsible. He'll be responsible for finding all the people for that. Then the people that we have internally, we can focus more on the roads and the school buildings.
Not a bad idea.
So that's something we're looking at too. You know, in the past it was cheaper to do it, and we just can't find people. So we have to figure out the best way to do it because we don't want to drop the standard all across the road. That's kind of what's happening.
I know in previous years we've talked about the priorities in town. We've talked about, you know, like schools, sidewalks, neighborhoods, roads, you know, those different things that come up. There was discussion in the past about a focus of downtown, you know, particularly with the walkability to get to the T stations. So is that still in place?
It is. We have even in our sidewalk plan that we did before, you know, the what's it, 38 miles? Or whatever it is.
Yeah, 40 miles.
Yeah, 40 miles, give or take. So we actually have tiers within there. So the first thing is we do like the downtown one of the areas, and then we might, instead of going all the way down like to the King Street School, whatever they call it now, I don't know, the school up there. But we would, instead of doing everything down there, we just focus on around the school area. So like the high school area, we get done, you know, for the close people, what they're doing at that level. And then
that comes when we're snowblowing.
Yeah.
If it'd be possible, do it all in a day. So when we're snowblowing, we have priority areas in those locations. We'll try to do those first, then move on from those locations.
And then even during the storm, you know, when we can get shovelers, that's we're just those getting out there too. We're paying $30 an hour for shovelers. So you got a high school kid that's 18 years old or plus, you need a shovel and want to make some money, come down and do it. Because we need people. But we still don't like the crosswalks downtown. you know, so people can, you know, go there and walk back and forth, you know, across the home, do all those items, so we've been able to do that.
And I remember the other sort of big bone of contention last winter was the change in policy with businesses being responsible in front of their establishment, but it was in certain areas of town and not the whole town. So is that still in effect?
It is, but, you know, to be candid, it's not enforced. I mean, the bylaw is out there, and it would, the way we went through it, did it, it would, it's about a third of what we did, you know, so that make us more efficient to get more work done. But it hasn't been the policy is enforcing it, and I don't enforce it, so it would be helpful. I can't say that.
Yeah. Just one statement, one question. And thank you again for the presentation, it's very helpful. So I'm understanding, just to make sure I'm understanding correctly, what you're saying, suggesting is that coordinating with other towns to, you know, to employ more people to plow is a challenge, logistically in part, because it becomes prioritization. Now they need to, you know, they need to plow Franklin and whatever other town at the same time, and so it becomes harder.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the rationales. So you don't want to do that because then that slows everything down.
Correct.
And then just a quick point of clarification. You showed the chart that had the increasing salt PPM, over the years, but also talked about decreasing snow and storms in some of those years. Is that because as the salt goes through all our water, then we put more salt in the next year, and it's always incrementally increasing, or are we using more salt? I'm not sure how that works. Like, I buy the numbers, I'm just not understanding how.
So we're pretty stable with the amount of salt. It's not like an increasing thing. Like, if you can think of something bad, I don't know, like you find your water, like DDT, right? It keeps going in, or you keep getting worse and worse, right? The salt, if we don't use it, it's going to wash out. So if we stop using all salt probably within 2 years,
it would go back.
It would go right back down. So it's not like an accumulative type thing. It's not fixed in the water.
So it sounds like it's more like, because we're using more salt, less salt, more of the brine, the beet juice, whatever, that this is probably more due to what the state is doing on 495 and just other things outside of our control.
They contributed. You know, the other thing you have to take into fact is, so since 2000, so now, is I think you kind of all know, you talked about like growth in the town. We have a whole lot more roads up there too. Okay, it's not just, we're not doing the same number of lane miles. We have more roads, so you know that more roads and then more drainage, they go into it. So that's an effect on it also. And that's also not just the roads, it's those numbers are all taken account of all the commercial properties we have, because they're doing just as much salt, you know, everybody else, because they, once they get into the businesses, they got to do. So it's a cumulative effect. It's not necessarily all in the town, it's just people's expectations. So I mean, it's gone up, but it could have gone up a whole lot worse, and that's what we try to show, that we're trying to mitigate it as best we can.
Thank you.
Going back to the salt question, that was well number three. Is that consistent through all the wells? You know, you showed one well, but is that those increases in salt?
Because when I talk about the salt, you know, like DEP requirements and EPA, it's not required that we test it. You know, it comes up every once in a while, but I just try to put it out there as, you know, reference. So I choose three, and I do it on my own. I'm not required to do it. And I chose three because I look at that as the worst case scenario. So like, if you're looking at well seven on Pond Street, it's not going to be better. One or two, maybe a little higher, just because it's not my 495. But I chose one that would really be effective, just to show the worst case scenario.
That's a big producer of water for the town.
Yeah.
My second last question is, the budget you set for 2026, if we have a season that's not too much snow or whatever, how do you handle maybe a season when it's underage? How do you handle a season when you go over budget?
So if it's under, like it was last year, it goes into free cash?
Nope. Not anymore.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, why you?
Yeah. Sure. So, So number one, up until about 2 or 3 years ago, the budget actually was much lower for the DPW for snow and ice. And there was always a hold on free cash, and we would use about $750,000 a year in holding free cash, which also resulted in $750,000 not being able to be spent on apparatus, gear, facilities, and other stuff, which you'll see in January. And so over a long period of time, we were able to transition into the budget the full cost of the snow and ice removal, or at least what was the average, which I think is the $1.5 million. We have a policy and a stabilization fund now that if there's any excess money at the end of the year, the excess snow and ice removal will go into a stabilization account so that the town has a reserve when the winter of 2014 arrives again and we get, you know, 90 or 110 inches of snow, which will happen at some point. The 1.4 million or five in the budget will definitely not cover the cost, even for an average, you know, winter now. So there is a stabilization fund with a reserve in it. So we've, until we, I can't remember the benchmark, it might be a million or a million and a half, but whenever we hit that ceiling, then the council will have to decide when there is leftover money, do you put that in free cash, do you want to up the amount in the reserve, et cetera. So
just, Jamie, so I can understand, so the stabilization fund, that's specific to the snow removal?
Exactly. Okay. It's specifically reserved, and it would take a two-thirds vote from this group to appropriate those funds to cover the cost for snow and ice if we had a really bad winter. So even though the budget is at whatever, $1.5 million, if we had a $2 million a year, the town's protected, has the money. But obviously long-term, you have to make sure that fund has the funds in it, because you don't know what the weather's going to be.
Okay, so I have a question. On one of the slides, it said for FY25, you had 16 events, 33 inches of snow. And you had $362,370 in salt. And then you had your budget. Now, your budget for FY26 increases by $282,120. But your salt is increasing, it's basically doubling. Why are we doubling the salt amount?
So, in your packet that you got, it was confusing, and I changed that. So the actual number for salt only is $500,000, and when it says, I think it said 605 in there?
It says for FY26,
yes.
It has 605.
Because what we did in there, besides using the salt, was basically budget $100,000 for the brine, and then $5,000 for the sand. So when I was doing the slides initially, I put in everything. But then I went back to what we actually used just on the salt the year before, and the actual budget line item. That was, I think, three, I don't know.
So the salt in 25 was, on the slide, was $362,372.
Correct.
So that's what we actually spent.
On salt.
On salt. So now you're with the FY26. You're now saying it should be like 505.
To 500.
500,000.
Yes. Okay, and that's the same budget amount that we had last year, but I had taken out the brine because if you look on the.
So with the brine, it goes up to the six.
Yes, and the salt. And like last year, it would have went up to two. I was just trying to put the numbers together. So
kind of break it down.
Yeah.
No, that's okay. I'm just looking for clarification. So the money in 25, you were budgeted 500,000. So the difference between the 5 and the 362 is what went into the stabilization fund.
Correct.
So that's still sitting there. Do we know how much is actually in that fund right now?
She'll get the real number. It's around 800,000. It is, and it is in a high yield savings account, so we do accrue interest on it.
Okay.
On that fund.
That's all I have for right now.
Max? Mr. Chairman, I just had a quick follow up for a comment from Cormier Ledger and Councilor Ojukwu regarding the idea of working with other towns. If there's a town that historically does not get a lot of snow when Franklin gets snow, or vice versa, could you say, oh, if you get a lot of snow, and we don't, we can cover you, or vice versa, and have an arrangement that way. Like, let's say the North Shore, which is further away, where it might be a little different.
Yeah, it's logistically, and then a lot of the the contractors that you see, they're not just trucks, they're loaders. So like they're staged in the area. Like if you go to like the school right now, you might see a skid steer just sitting there or a loader. I got a bunch of loaders down, backhoes down to DPW, they sit there. Because half of it's just moving these vehicles around. I'd love to.
No, I just didn't know if there was a, you know, they would, you know, another town would charge us a premium to help with their snow. I don't know.
I don't know any town that has enough people right now.
Yeah.
That could, to really.
Yeah. Okay, I did have other questions, but I think I got everything addressed that I needed to, so thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mike?
I'm good, thank you.
Just a fast question, a few of my other questions were already answered. I always thought you guys did a great job with stuff, so for what it's worth.
Thank you.
Great things about the town, so. One question would be about purchasing salt. You say you're part of a consortium, you started a consortium. Do you buy that in conjunction with other towns or with the county, or how big a purchase?
It's big. It's actually Medfield started 50 years ago, right?
He brought it over from Easton.
Yeah.
He already had started in Easton, he brought it to Medfield.
There's gonna be what, 26 towns involved in it.
26 towns.
Yeah.
So it is a pretty large.
It's one of the larger ones that's out there. And we do get better prices.
And we do the same thing with the salt brine. So we pay $1.80 a gallon, and that's through Needham and their consortium that we work together. So.
And how much do you have left over? I mean, the last couple of years have been pretty mild. Snow or salt, you actually.
So my policy is when I got here. So I got here, the salt at one dome at the time was empty. So when I got here, I had to fill it. I'm going to say whatever that number was, $300,000. So I was already in a deficit going into that first year. Because I had to fill it, and I think the budget's probably like $200,000, so we're already right off the bat. So at the end of the year, I filled it. So like, when you go out, whether it's June or July, or we used up that point, it would be full, so the next year, it's always starting on full. So it's always on that particular fiscal year.
And then it does give us accurate budgeting numbers, so we can project.
Well, it's predictable spend. I'm just wondering, I mean, are you filling half of the material, a quarter of the material?
No, we fill them all the way up.
No, I know you're filling it to 100%, but you're starting at 30%, 50%, 70%.
No, we consider starting always at full. So when it goes down, we fill. It goes down, fill. It goes down, fill. Right up until, you know, it stops icing in, say, April, right? So whenever the last one, we fill it back up. So going into the next fiscal year, it's full. Now we have to buy extra. It's going to show we're going to use for that year. So when I come back and as Ms. Calloway asked, you know, did you have, what was your actual expenditure? I can say I actually spent it, because if I didn't fill it, then it would actually be lower because it'd be a void there.
Okay, I guess that was how much we store or what we do. I get what you're saying. I'm just wondering if we need to cut, you know, keep filling it going into the spring and summer, that salt's just going to sit there until October, November, December.
Yes, it does.
And is that smart? Are we going to save money by buying it later? Is this
we do?
Yeah,
I do. I do the same thing Bruce does. I fill mine up at the end of the, like, April, May, because you get a better deal. I mean, if you go over to Chelsea and you see how much salt is over Chelsea, and they want to get rid of it, I mean, there's mounds and mounds and mounds of salt, and that's where they all come from. That's where it all comes from. And so you do get a better deal. I know I do. And a couple of years ago, remember how high salt was?
Yes.
Salt was outrageous a couple of years ago. It was unbelievable. So you try to, you know. So you're like, I don't mean to steal, but I'm like one load ahead at the end of the year. That's kind of the way I look at it.
And just because, I mean, salt is so valuable. And,
yeah.
You know, every town needs it. Every state needs it. So. If we use 3 trailloads, that next day, I'm ordering 3 trailloads. Because it can go quick, and you want to get it before the next guy.
I mean, I'm lucky because I'm in Logan. Chelsea's right down the street, so they're happy to deliver it to me.
That's it, I'm all set. Thank you.
Yeah, so, I mean, I kind of have the same problems Bruce and Carlos have about none of these young kids. They don't want to work. I mean, I had a snow event over the weekend. We came in. Bruce, I called you.
Yeah, we talked.
These are, I would love all the time to have one just before Christmas.
I worked like 13 hours, 14 hours. You think I get the young kids to come in? They won't come in. And they say, well, you know, it was Saturday night, I was out drinking, I didn't want to come in. I bothered you at 8 o'clock in the morning this morning. Doesn't mean you have to go out in the afternoon and drink it. You know, so I mean, that's what we're running up against.
And it's double time.
Yeah.
Double time is Sunday, you know.
And the first storm is always the worst, you know, no matter what. You think you have all your equipment ready, and you... It's just...
Control chaos.
Yeah, control chaos. We call the same thing. I mean, when I was younger, I would love snowstorms. Like, love them. I'd go out at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd go plowing, having a great time. Now when it snows, I cry. But it's my last winter, so I'm good. But thank you, guys.
Just one thing I ask you for counsel. If you get any, your constituents call up with complaints, you know, just have a call Public Works. I mean, I think if most people, they call, we take care of it. You know, just let us know. And if we can't do it, we'll say no. But just let us know and give us that way. Give us a shot at it to get it done. And sometimes you only get the calls and they're right. I always made a joke. You got a call one time, they're like, oh, they had, I think it was like Schofield Drive. No plow's been through here, you know, all night. And I'm like, that couldn't happen. I went over there. No plow had been through there all night long. And so,
I think I called you on that.
Yeah, me and Deacon went over there. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I called you on that.
But it happens, you know, it's
first,
like...
First storm. First storm.
First storm. It's awful.
But the contractor said he was there, never showed up, and then his truck broke and left, never notified. We had no idea. That's the last thing we want. So if something's happening, please let us know, and we'll get to it.
Always have. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.